Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
We're in Genesis 17 tonight. Genesis 17. Let's read the chapter. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in you, your flesh, for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. I was wondering, you know, maybe Abraham is thinking like maybe you and I think when we get into our mid-40s and up. Having another child would be difficult. You know, maybe he's thinking, I don't know if I want to raise a baby at the age of 100. But, and I do like the idea that he immediately went from calling her Sarai to Sarah. I mean, the next breath. And Sarah's old. She can't have children. Let's go on. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him a fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall be he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son and all that were born in the house and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God hath said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Father, please help me this evening. Help my words to be your words, my thoughts to be your thoughts. Please guide and direct this service in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at Genesis chapter 17. It's the next chapter of which we're going through the book of Genesis. And I've enjoyed Genesis. I enjoy reading through it. I'm actually in Genesis chapter 40-something and taking notes on that chapter. And so when I go back and see the notes that I've taken over Genesis chapter 17, I kind of find some interesting things. You know, Ishmael is 13 years old at this time. He is 14 years older than Isaac. Some things that are interesting to know. Sarah is 89 at this time. Some of you ladies in here are 89. Can you imagine if God appeared to you tonight, Luzetta or Vi, and said, you're going to have a baby this time next year? I would call inquiry, because inquiring minds would want to know. But it would be interesting to hear that. And Abraham's reaction is exactly your reaction to Vi and Luzetta. That he laughed. Can a 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old lady have a baby? And the answer was, yes. With God, all things are possible. But I do see some important things that I want to talk about this evening. I see three or four important things. Number one, I want us to look and see that it's important to walk with God. It's important to walk with God. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. Friend, in order to walk with God, you first of all must know God. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice and you know not Christ, then you need to be saved. The first thing Abraham was before he ever took his first step with God was a child of God. Do you know whether you're a child of God or not? Some would say, and I've heard this statement, we are all the children of God. No, we are not. You say, well, that's very rude to say. Did God not create us all? God did create Adam and Eve, but not all of us are children of God. Prove it, one might say. I'm glad you said that. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. 1 John 3:10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brethren. Romans chapter 9, verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are accounted for the seed. Matthew 8:11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. See, my friend, in these few chapters and verses that we just read, there is great evidence that there are children of God and then there are children that are not God's. Simply put, those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ are adopted into the family of God. When you and I are born, we are born into sin. And we are the children, I know this is uncomfortable and it doesn't sound very good, but we are the children of the devil. We are the seed of sin. We are children of the wicked one. We are children of the flesh. We are children of this world. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. My friend, we that have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, have been adopted, and now we are the children of God. We once were children of the devil, and now we're children of God. So not everybody is a child of God. The human race is not the child of God. The human race is loved by God, and God died for the human race, but we are not the child of God. Only those that have been saved and have the Holy Spirit's conviction, and they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He indwells them, those that have done that have become the children of God. We have been adopted, and I can now go to my Father and say, Father. See, when you and I receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Father adopts us as one of His children. We then have the right to call Him Father, which is a wonderful thought. I can go to Him with my problems and my concerns, and He's my Father that not only can help, but get this, He wants to help. Now, I'm going to ask a silly question. Are you ready? How many of you ever had a dad before? All right, hey, good, 100%. I had a dad. He's having a great day today. 2 years in heaven. That's probably equivalent to like 20 seconds of eternity. But he's been there for a little time. And my dad was a big help to me. He was my dad. I could call him, and I did call him frequently. I called him at least every week, and most of the times I bugged him because he was busy and I would take up his time. But I did call him often. I called him a lot. And if I had a problem, I would call my dad. I would say, hey, Dad, what about this problem? I have this decision to make, or I have this situation that has arisen, or I have this problem that's now on my table. What do you think? See, I had the right to call him. And not only did I have the right to call him, I had the privilege of calling him. And not only did I have the right and privilege of calling him, he wanted to help me. And he would give me good advice. Never did he give me advice that would hurt me, but only help me. And if he didn't know the answer, he'd say, son, I don't know the answer. Let's pray about it. I don't know what to tell you, but here's what I would do. And I would listen to his advice, and I would seek his counsel, because as a father, not only was he able to help me, he wanted to help me. I'm able to help my children in certain areas of life. Not only do I am I able to help my children, I want to help my children. I want to help my children learn how to swim. I want to help my children learn how to ride their bike. I want to help my children know how to throw a ball. I want to help my children know how to sing. I want to help my children when they come to me and say, hey, Dad, what do you think about this? I want to help my children. Not only should they have the right to come to me, but I not only do I have an obligation to help them, I want to help them. And you know, if you're a child of God, it's the same thing. You can go to God. You have the right to go to God. He's your Abba. He's your Father. You have a decision to make? Why don't you take it to God? Why don't you ask Him? You have to understand, we think that He is, I'm afraid that we too many times think that He's a far away, distant God that's way up in heaven, and we pray, and He's like, well, if God hears me, He'll listen. But He's so busy. No, He's a one-on-one. You are the most important thing to Him. You are the most important thing to Him. And I am the most important thing to Him. And it's a one-on-one relationship. It's not a y'all relationship. He's my Father. Dear God, I don't know what to do. What do I do? Now, what kind of father would He be? Be like, well, figure it out your own. I'm not going to help you. That wouldn't be a very good father. Now, if I'm not in a good relationship with Him or a good fellowship with Him, maybe there's some things that need to be, if we're not on speaking terms because of me, not ever because of Him, if we're not on speaking terms, I can get that cleared up real quick too, 1 John 1:9. Do you realize that you have a Father? If you've been saved, He's your Heavenly Father. And not only do you have the right to go to Him, He wants you to go to Him, He wants to help you. Just like any father would naturally want to help his child, the Father wants to help us. I'm thankful for that. If you're here this evening and you're not saved, you know, you don't have the right to go to the Father. He's not your Father, number one. You can call Him whatever you want, but He's not your Father. If I were to go to my dad, if my dad were still alive, and I would say, "Hey, Dad, can I borrow the keys to the car?" Typically, my dad would say, "Oh, my dad would give me the third degree why I needed a car, blah, 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 blah." But I'd break him down. He'd finally let me borrow the car. Why? Because I'm his son. But if I came to a stranger and said, "Hey, man, can I borrow your car?" Probably not going to work. Now, I don't think my dad would do this. Now, my dad might have done it, but I don't think my dad would do it. If some stranger came off the street, "Hey, man, can I borrow your car?" My dad probably wouldn't let him borrow the car. Why? Because it wasn't his son. I was his son, and therefore I not only had the privilege to go to my dad, I had the right to go to my dad. If you're lost, maybe you're not getting your prayers answered because you're not one of his children. Do you know the first prayer that that God ever hears is the cry of, "Hey, I want to be adopted. I want to be your child, dear God." That's the first prayer that God will listen to of a sinner's lips. "Dear God, will you save me? Dear God, I want you to come into my heart and be my Savior. I put my faith and trust in you. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Whatever your heart's cry was to God for salvation, God hears you and adopts you. And as soon as you get adopted, you become one of his children and you have the right to go to him about your needs and problems. But the world cries out, "Why is God letting this happen?" There's a lot of vain prayers going on, speaking to a heavenly father that is not getting past the ceiling because he's not their heavenly father. This world's a mess because they're not talking to God. They think they are. He listens to his children, and not everybody's his child. Abraham was his child. And we have the right to go to our Father. So the first step that the importance of walking with God is you have to be saved. Number two, walking with God makes a believer two things. Number one, walking with God makes a believer complete. It says, "Walk before me and be thou perfect." Now, this is not sinlessness. God is not saying, "Now that you're saved, Abraham, please walk with me and be thou sinless and perfect." Wrong. Does Abraham ever sin after this again? Yes. That's not talking about sinless perfection. This word is talking about being complete in Christ. Listen, the only way that you and I will feel complete in this world as a believer is if we're walking with Christ. And the times that you and I are not walking with Christ, there's an emptiness about us. There's a sadness about us. There could be even a depression about us because we're not where we should be with the walk of the Father. Walking with the Father makes one complete. Walking with the Father makes one content. Makes one content. You're walking with Christ, you're a happier person. Abraham was always happier when he walked with the Lord. So walking with Christ, walking with God, makes a believer complete and makes a believer content. Unfortunately, many people feel they can find contentment elsewhere. You know, a lot of believers feel like they can find contentment elsewhere. I see so many Christians who try and find happiness in all sorts of things. They change clothes. They change cars. They change their hair. They change their seat in the church building. They can never find contentment. I'm not saying changing things from time to time is wrong, but if you're unhappy and you think that changing your hair will produce true happiness, then I'm afraid we're missing something. "I'll grow a beard. That'll make me happy." That would make me happy, but my wife would hate it. Unfortunately, many people feel they can find contentment in another church. "Well, I've been here and I'm just bored. I'm going to go find another church." Now, sometimes God does want one to move, but to be a church hopper is not scriptural and is not right. Stop changing your church address and start changing your walk. The second thing I see is it's important to listen to God. God has a plan for your life. Friend, God just doesn't have a plan for Abraham's life. He has a plan for your life and for mine. God has a name for you to live up to. He changed Abraham's name. He changed Abram's name to Abraham. Abram means, I looked it up. Abram means high and exalted father. That's what the word Abram means. Abraham means father of many nations. God changed Abram's name. God changed Sarai's name. You know, the Bible tells us that it's important to have a good name. Proverbs chapter 22, I believe, verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is to be chosen over gold or silver. The Bible is basically saying in the book of Proverbs, if you have an option of having a good name or a pile of gold, you should take the good name every time. That's what the Bible says. A good name should be chosen rather than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And I'm not just talking about our surname, although our surname is important. I'm a Barker. Barkers have a certain characteristic set about them. My dad was a Barker. My dad had some integrity about him. And I have to, as a Barker, live up to that integrity because I'm a Barker. There's a sign in my office that a teenager made for me in Tennessee a few years ago. She was in painting, and she heard me over and over and over and over and over again saying, you should never quit. Don't quit. Don't be a quitter. Quitters never win, you know, all that stuff. So she has there, it says, Barkers never quit. That's my reputation. It was my reputation in Tennessee. And you'll probably find to your own dismay, it's my reputation here too. Like, that guy will never quit. That's my name. When I was in Tennessee, I would have fought for my name. I told the deacons one time I was blackmailed by somebody. I walked into the deacons meeting. And they blindsided me with it. And I said, you don't have to worry about this. They don't go to the news. I'll go to the news. I'll stand in front of the pulpit and I'll clear my name. My name is more important to me than anything, and I'm not going to let anybody destroy it. That's how it was in the deacons' meeting. Why? It's the only thing I got. When I die, there's only going to be two things on my tombstone, my name and a date. And I do believe it's important that you have a good surname and that you keep your name good in this community. Your name, not the name of Christ. I think that's important too, and we'll get there. But I'm talking about your name. I should be able to speak your name out in the public, and they say, oh man, that's a good person right there. Abram's name was important. God, there's no doubt that having a good name is important, and God gives us a name. Now, I remember the story of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was walking out one night, and it was just walking in the cool of the evening, and it was late in the middle of the night, and the guards were on duty, and it was just a hard night, and it was a tiresome night, and Alexander walked around the corner, and there was a guard at his post standing there, and he had fallen asleep. Normally, that's either imprisonment or certain death. Alexander the Great evidently felt a little compassion for him, and walked up to him and got his attention, and he came to attention rather quickly, and Alexander the Great said, sir, what is your name? And the guy said, my name is Alexander. And Alexander the Great looked at him and said, sir, change your name or change your behavior. Why? Alexander didn't want to be known as someone that fell asleep on the job. I think it's important to have a good surname. The Bible teaches that. But you know, when I became a believer, I became a Christian, I now bear the name of Christ. And so we need to be careful about our reputation for the cause of Christ. You come to Victory Baptist Church, you should be known as a Christian, and your name should represent Christ. I see that it's important that we walk with God. I see that it's important that we listen to God. God has a plan for you. God has a name for you. God has a desire for you to be different. That's what the cutting of the way of the flesh was. I'm not going to get graphic or anything, but the word circumcision gives you the idea of cutting away of the flesh. And we know that the flesh is something that God does not want us to be a part of. He does not want our flesh to rule our life. And so there was a significant difference in those men because there was a cutting of the way of the flesh. And God was saying, I want you, Abraham, and I want your children, and I want everybody in your household, servants, I want them to be circumcised. I want the flesh to be taken out of them, and I want them to be different than everybody else in the world. That's what it was all about. It was an identification of true followers of Christ for Abraham. It's not an identification now, but it is then. It was cutting away of the flesh. God wants you and me to cut away the fleshly part of our life and live by the Spirit. But too much do I have the flesh in my life and I live by the flesh. Too much. God wants us to listen. Number three, it's important to understand God knows what is best. Abraham said, Dear God, here's Ishmael. I'm 99 years old. Sarah's 89 years old. I'll be 100. She'll be 90. We're too old to have children. Let Isaac, give your covenant to Isaac, or Ishmael. Give your covenant to Ishmael. And God said, no, I know what's best. And I know that sometimes you and I don't think think that God knows what's best sometimes. And we live our life by that action. You know, I can honestly say last week when this gentleman, Mr. Johnson, died from Ambassador College at the age of 65, being their missions director, getting ready to go on a mission trip, that was sudden-like. And I guarantee you that if we were at a round table and God was sitting at the round table and he was going around to Alton Bill and Ron Comfort and all the other directors to say, now, do you think it's best that we take Johnson out? They would all say, no, that would be foolish. I mean, he's 65 years old and he's a good missions director and we need him. I don't think that would be the best idea, but you know what? God has a better idea. I could say the same thing for my dad. 62, if you had a round table and we were all sitting around the round table and God came down and asked my opinion, hey, is it okay if I take Bob at 62? No, it's not okay. Let's not do that. Take somebody else. But not Bob. Not Dad. God knows what's best. And I want you to know that God knows what's best for my life and for your life too. Abram thought he knew what was best. Let me have Ishmael. Because he loved Ishmael. How much did he love Ishmael? As much as he loved Isaac. He loved Ishmael. He was his son. He was his firstborn son. Well, God knows best. And then finally, I see the importance to see that when God changes you, he wants to change those around you too. Abraham, you're going to be circumcised. Hey, this is that's great for Abraham. But 13-year-old Ishmael and all the servants, they changed too. And that wasn't a glorious day, I promise you that. The idea there is, Abraham, I got a covenant with you. You and your children and your children's children, this covenant is going to be a symbolic covenant of cutting of the way of the flesh. They're going to be different. And Abraham, since you're different, I want everybody around you to be different. Everybody that's involved with you, I want them to be different. Same thing for you and me. You and I are saved. He wants you to be different, but he wants you to influence your family so that they'll be different too. So I see the importance of several things in Genesis chapter 17. The importance of walking with God, the importance of listening to God, the importance to understand God knows what's best, and the importance to see when God changes you, he wants to change those around you. These are the truths that I find in Genesis chapter 17. May it help our hearts.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.